We're going to jump right into our scripture, and we are looking at Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at actually about four chapters, and we're going to read them all right now. You guys ready? Yeah, let's go. It's God's word. Why not, right? But here's the thing. We're actually only going to read verses 1 through 10 this morning, and I'm going to summarize as we go. And so if you would, open your Bibles. We're looking at Joseph, chapter 37. Joseph, the book of Joseph. The book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. We're talking about Joseph. All right. So I actually want to pray here real quick. So God, I'm just so excited, Lord. Excited, God, to hear your word this morning. Excited to see what word comes out of my mouth this morning, Lord, to hear you speak. But I do pray, God, that you would just calm my heart right now, Lord, and that I would just be attentive to listening to you and your Holy Spirit. And God, only giving what it is that you want to be said this morning. I do pray for open hearts, open minds, open ears to receive, Lord. I pray from the youngest to the oldest that your spirit would just fill them with your word. Fill them with your love, with your heart, and just know that this is your word, and God, you've given it to us so that we can draw near to you, know more about you, be edified, be encouraged, all those things. So yeah, Lord, we give you this time and say, come, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Genesis 37, verses 1 through 10. Jacob lived in the land of his fathers, sojourning in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pastoring the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all the other brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose up and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And so you can go a lot of ways with this set of verses. Dysfunctional families, you name it. There's just so many ways we can go. But here's where I felt like we were going to go this morning, and where the kids' lesson is going to go too, is we're going to focus in on this dream. And we're going to focus in on a big idea. And so in the kids' ministry, we had this guy named Totally Tubular Tom. Cool dude. I met him. We surfed together. It's pretty awesome. And so he was supposed to do the video this morning, but again, he sent it to us. It didn't work. And so I'm going to try my best to do this big idea in his voice. All right? So you guys ready? Kids, you listening? Because I know hopefully you guys have seen Totally Tubular Tom. Again, I don't know if I can do him credit, but I'm going to try. All right? So he does something like this. He goes, "Dude, how's it going?" Is that okay? Is that a pretty good surfer? So here's the big verse. It's like, "So God's pinky promises sometimes take time." All right? Okay, do it with me. God's pinky promises sometimes take time. Hey, not bad, huh? All right. Maybe I can be a surfer after all. So, but that's our big idea. God's promises sometimes take time. And we're looking at that in the vision of a dream right now. And so a dream, you know, I asked this question, what is a dream? You're like, duh, we all know what dreams are. But I love the definition. And here's what it says. It says a dream or a series of thoughts, images, sensations occurring in a person's mind during sleep. And so dreams can come in all forms or fashion. It's weird, you know, like you ever woke up and like you have this dream and you want to remember it, but you can't. Or just a weird dream, like you're floating in air, or you ever fall off of a mountain or something and you jolt up. But probably the weirdest dream, not weirdest, funniest, is that one day Courtney and I were asleep. She woke up and she hit me. I was asleep. I thought maybe I kicked her. I said, what was that for? She said, I dreamed you cheated on me. I was like, man, that's not fair. I got hit and I didn't even do anything. But dreams can be very powerful. And so it seems so real to her. And that's why I tell you that story. So dreams can seem so real, but we can really get dreams. God gives dreams to us, gives us visions that like he did to Joseph. And sometimes, though, a dream is a cherished aspiration, an ambition, or an idea, right? So sometimes it's this thing we want. It's the job I'm trying to get. It's the spouse I want. It's what you name it. So sometimes it's this cherished thought. So, but they can come together, as we're going to see in Joseph's dreams. And I love these quotes about a dream. So Walt Disney, when he was getting right before he built this Disney, and he says this, if you can dream it, you can do it. And then you have Martin Luther King standing in the National Mall in front of 250,000 people and said, I have a dream, right? And you've got Ben Carson, who's a well-known surgeon, had a hard life. But before he became the surgeon, he says, through work, perseverance, and faith, and God, you can live your dream. So dreams have been a part of our lives since we were born. Maybe even before. I remember when our little ones, you know, were still in Courtney's tummy, we had dreams for them before they even knew it. We dreamed of what God was going to do and how he was going to move and what they would be one day. And, you know, before you knew it, if they were a boy or a girl. And so dreams, they're just part of our life. And so really important that we just begin to understand as we look at dreams and as we look at the life of Joseph, that there are many times that these dreams are also promises from God. Not always, obviously, but there's definitely a reality that we need to open our minds to know that he's moving in those dreams. And so let's go back to the life of Joseph. So here's Joseph. Joseph is the next to youngest boy of Jacob or Israel, which are what, so he was called by both in the Bible. He was the father of our faith. And so he was the firstborn of Rachel. And so if you know about the story of Jacob, he wanted to marry Rachel from the time he saw her. He worked, he worked, he worked. And when it came time for him to marry Rachel, their dad pulled a little trick on them and gave him Leah instead of Rachel. So he married Leah. So he worked again and finally got to marry Rachel. And again, this is a very dysfunctional family. He actually has 4 wives. He has 10 kids from 4 different, well, excuse me, 13 kids from 4 different wives. He has 10 boys from some and 2 from Rachel. And so the beloved of Jacob, because they're from Rachel, his one true love, and they're the kids of his older age, was Joseph and Benjamin. So you've got Joseph. He's 17 years old, and he's out here. Father's showing him more respect than anybody else. He's giving him everything. He gives him this coat, and you guys have heard it before, the coat of many colors. Now, the Hebrew word or the Greek word, whichever it is actually doesn't necessarily mean colors. It means ornaments. It can mean long sleeve, but it was definitely a special coat. It was like he took him to, let's say, Neiman Marcus and bought him the best leather coat he could, and he took the other boys to the Dollar Tree and bought them this t-shirt. All right, so he gave him the best of everything. And so here's what happens. And so there's the next day, and we just read, we read about how there's this hatred in their hearts, right? And so Joseph has these dreams of them bowing down to him. And then we hear them next, they're in this land called Shechem. And Shechem is about 50 miles from where they live. And so it's like a 20-hour trip to get there. And so while they're there, Jacob says, hey, I want you, Joseph, to go out and I want you to check on your brothers. And really, if you remember at the very first couple of verses, it says he came back and he gave a bad report to them. So he was really sending this 17-year-old boy that they didn't like already out to check on them and report back to them and kind of be their supervisor. So I can only imagine what strife this was going to cause even more in their life. And so he sends them out, and Joseph goes about his way, and he gets there, and he can't find him. He checks with a guy, and the guy says, yeah, they're actually down there. So he heads off to wherever this other place is, and they see him coming. And more than likely, do you know how they saw him coming? The coat, exactly. He was wearing the coat. And so they saw him coming, this coat, and here's what they say. There comes that dreamer. And it wasn't a good thing. They weren't like, man, there comes the dreamer. The dreams he's getting from God is like, dude, I can't stand him. The dreamer, right? And so, and they're saying, here comes the dreamer. So we're going to stop there. We're going to cover a little bit and we'll come back to his life. So here's something I want us to kind of look at. When we talk about dreams, especially in this time, and again, definitely now, I am glad that didn't happen during service because I left it here on the stage and Steve picked it up for me and I was really afraid it was going to do that during worship. So I'm glad it didn't. All right, here we go. So God and dreams, right? God uses dreams a lot in the Bible. He uses as a medium for this divine meeting, this sensation as we sleep, as we move. And he used it to communicate with men. And we see that many times in the Bible, not just here. We see it in Daniel chapter 4, where Daniel is talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he wants to know what it's about, so he calls Daniel, or Belshazzar, as he was called there, and he brings him in, and he tells him the dream, and let's just say it wasn't a good dream, all right? It ended up way long time after that, okay, but, you know, when you end up as an animal for a while, it's probably not a good dream. And so, but Daniel interpreted this dream for him. And then we have another instance, just one of two, I mean, two of many. And so you have another Joseph. And Joseph was who? In the New Testament, who was Joseph? Yeah, so he was Jesus' earthly father, his stepdad. And so God came to Joseph and said, hey, things are about to happen. You need to leave and go. And so he warned him and moved him and gave him a warning. And so God uses dreams. And so if we look at Joseph in the life, we see that he had two dreams that we know of, right? And in these dreams, the first one was the sheaths, and his sheath was tall, their sheath bowed. And then again, we have the sun, the moon, and the stars. And if you see, how many stars were there? There's 11 stars, 13 of the family, 11 stars. And so the sun and the moon were the father and the mother. And so they're coming there saying, no, you really think you're going to lord over us? And here's the thing, we don't know if Joseph was truly trying to like, ha, 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 when he came and did that, right? You guys are going to bow to me. He was 17 years old. Who knows if he was just excited. What was his dream? What was God doing? But again, they didn't like it. And they were like, dude, you really think you're going to lord over us? And the father, he might have been just trying to bring it down. Like, okay, I've realized I've done this. Maybe we should talk it down a little bit. But either way, these dreams were God's dreams. And God was trying to dream through Joseph. And we went to World Mandate this last year. By the way, it's very sad. We have to wait over a year for the next World Mandate. Maybe we should have our own World Mandate in February. We'll just do it here. And so, but here's the thing. In World Mandate, and this is part of the story of Antioch and part of Pastor Jimmy Seibert and his wife. If you've read Passion of Purpose, you've heard this. But his thing was like, God, dream your dreams through us. And I remember when I first heard that, I don't know if I completely understood that. I'm like, man, that's kind of scary. Do I really want God to dream his dreams through me? But the more we talked about it, the more I understood it. It's like, God, yes, please. God, dream your dreams through us, through me, through our church. And here's what God is doing. He's dreaming his dreams for his people, for his glory through Joseph. And Joseph wasn't this big, awesome guy. He wasn't like this strong, like up front, you name it. But and here's even this, is that if I was Joseph and I seriously doubt, this would have been Joseph's dream for himself, right? Oh yeah, I want to go through pain and suffering and slavery and all these things to get where I feel like God's calling me to be. He knew he had a call in his life, but he didn't want to go that way. He had a pretty sweet life. He didn't have to work. He had plenty of money. He had all the gifts. He had his father's love. And so if he had chosen his dream, I'm pretty sure he would have stayed right where he is. So again, remember this, that God still works in the dreams. God still gives us these things. And what was your biggest dream in life? When you were younger, maybe now, what was your biggest dream? Mine, when I was, you know, just coming out of high school, was okay. I want money, I want a wife, I want kids, I want notoriety in my job. These were the things that were first and foremost in my life. And those are the things that I really kind of strived after. Those are the things I worked for. I wanted my coworkers to like me. I wanted the kids that I worked with to like me and think of me as kind of a cool dude, you know? And I wanted them to really just be open with me. And sometimes our dreams line up with God's. Sometimes they don't. My dreams at that point could have lined up with God, but I wasn't seeking after him. I wasn't looking after him. So who knows if that's what he wanted for my life. But as I grew and as I grew stronger in my faith and closer to God and began to realize more and more who he was in my life and realize my identity in him, my thoughts and my desires began to switch from those things. Family is still important. My wife is still important to me. But what God wanted of me was way more important. So my heart began to change the more I drew in and drew into him. And my dreams for my life changed. So now I wanted to go on missions. I wanted to work in ministry. I wanted to disciple kids. I wanted to do all these things. So God just changed my focus and used that desire for his dream. So as I begin to trust him, and if we look at scripture, we can see that this is very biblical. In Psalms 37, 4 and 5, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will act. And so I remember when I first heard this, I was like, huh, okay, what does that mean? Was it walk through and then begin to talk and walk? And again, it doesn't mean that what I want is what God's going to give me. It goes back to what I just said. The more I press into him, the more I desire him, the closer we draw, the more my heart becomes like his, the more my desires are his. And so his desires become my heart, his desires become my will, and he will act. And so there's just, again, a powerful little promise inside of that scripture and that dream. So we're back. Let's go back to Joseph's life. We talked about the dream and the dreamer. Now let's look at, there's a promise inside of this dream. So we're back at Joseph. And so where we left off, he was this dreamer, right? Out there. He came, as he got closer, his brother's like, oh yeah, this is the time. We are 50 miles from home. Dad will never know. I don't like this dude at all. I'm done with him. Let's kill him. Let's just do it right here. Let's kill him. And so I imagine they were probably planning how they're going to do it. What's it going to look like? What are they going to do with him? What are they going to tell their father? But Reuben, the oldest brother, came in and said, wait, guys, we can't kill him. Let's put him in that pit over there. And Reuben, we don't really know what his motives were, but he was actually going to go back, save Joseph, and send him back home. So they put him in this pit, and they went and ate lunch. They're going, okay, we'll go eat lunch. We'll figure out what we're going to do with him after that. While they're eating lunch, these slave traders, these traffickers come in and they buy Joseph from him, from the family. And so they're thinking, sweet, we didn't kill him. We sold him off. We got some money in it. And we'll take this coat and we'll rip it up a little bit. We'll put a little blood on it. And we'll just tell father that he got hit. He got attacked by an animal or something happened to him. And we'll be good. And we're done with Joseph. We'll never see him again. Yeah, right. And so they're done. And so he's sold into slavery. And then again, they sell him into slavery. And he ends up in the Potiphar's house. And the Potiphar was over armies, over jail, and all these things. And he found Joseph was in slavery, but he still had some favor from the Lord. He still had the favor of the Lord on him. And so he was able to do some things. Potiphar put him in charge of his house. He rose up. He was taking care of everything. And scripture tells us that Joseph was a good-looking man. All right? He worked hard. He's out. He's probably tan. And so you have Potiphar's wife who came up and really liked him and wanted to hang out with him. We're going to be very kid-friendly here, all right? And so, but she wanted to hang out with him. And he didn't want to hang out. And so, but she got really angry and said, you're going to hang out with me. And he said, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to sin against God. But she got mad and she took his coat and ripped it off of him at one point. And so she told everybody else that he was really angry and mean to her and that he deserved to be punished. And so Potiphar came in and he says, look, I'm not sure whose story's right, but I have to protect my wife. And so he put Joseph in jail. Joseph was in jail for many years. In the jail of the Pharaoh. And while he's there, you may have heard the story. You have the cupbearer, and you... Hi, babies. You have the cupbearer, and you have the baker, right? And so you have, they're in there. Probably somebody tried to kill the Pharaoh, and they were put in jail because it's their job to take care of him. And they both have dreams. And they were talking about their dream one day, and Joseph says, hey, I think I can give you an interpretation of what that dream is. And the cupbearer, he gets his, and he said, Joseph says, like, hey, in 3 days, you're going to get out of jail. You're going to get your job back. It's going to be great. Yet the baker who says, sweet, my dream is similar. I'll tell you mine too. And Joseph says, man, I'm sorry. Yours isn't quite so good. 3 days from now, you're going to die. Pharaoh's going to kill you. And so they get out of jail. It comes true. 2 years down the road, after Joseph had asked the cupbearer, because he knew he was going to live, he says, look, just do me one thing. Remember me when you get out. He didn't. 2 years later, Joseph's still in prison. The Pharaoh has a dream. And in this dream, the cupbearer hears what he's talking about, and he remembers Joseph. And so he goes to him and says, hey, this is weird, but here's the thing. Me and this other guy, we had a dream, and this dude in jail told us what our dream, and it came true. If he's still in jail, he might be able to help. So Pharaoh sends for Joseph, and he brings him in, and he tells him his dream. And what happened basically is what's going to happen is this long famine, and then, this big, a lot of overabundance, and then a long famine. So Joseph tells him this dream, and the Pharaoh's like, look, I don't know if I've got anybody to put in charge of this. And he looks at Joseph and says, okay, you do it. I'll put you in charge of this. And so we're about 23 years into these dreams that Joseph had originally had. And here's just a cool little piece that I love. So you had the coat of colors that was ripped off of him. That was given to him by his father. You have this coat that was ripped off by Pharaoh's wife. And one of the first things Pharaoh does is he puts a new coat on Joseph. So it's a sidebar of this little bit of the love of the Father has for us, how he restores us and restores things in our life, things that we think have been ripped off or it can never be redone. He restores those things. So it's just a cool little sidebar story from coat to coat to coat. All right, so Joseph has seen glimpses of this dream and this promise that God gave him. But he's also been in slavery, all these things we talked about. And so was there really a promise given to Joseph? He's got to be thinking this at some point. I had these dreams. I feel like they were God, that one day I would do great things. And if I was Joseph, I would be wavering. I'd be saying, okay, God, you gave this to me 23 years down the road. Yeah, things are better, but they're still not quite completely brought forth. And so, again, if it was me, I might be wavering right now. But you know, Joseph wasn't. And here's a couple of reasons why. First, because he knew God was with him. He knew that God was with him. In these chapters in Genesis, every time something bad happened to Joseph, it says God was with him. If you remember last week, we talked about here I am, right? Our response to the I am. You guys remember what I am meant? That God is actively present in our lives. So as we look at our own lives, as we look at the promises we feel like God's given us, as we like, okay, God, why isn't this come through? Why isn't this happening? We can look at the I am and know that he is actively present in our lives. So just like Joseph, we can know that God is actively present in our lives. Second reason that I believe that Joseph was able to stand firm, because he knew this promise was from God. He knew who had given him this promise, and God's promises always come true. Always come true. And how do we know this? How do we know that God's promises are always true? Well, here's the definition of a promise. It's a declaration or assurance that one will do something or that particular thing will happen. And we know that God cannot lie. So therefore, his promises have to come true. And how do we know we can't lie? Well, just one of many scriptures in Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should not lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So we know that God's promises are true. So in my own life, I've experienced this a couple of times. I've told you guys this story before. I don't have a lot of stories. Hopefully God will give me more as I get older. But I love the ones I have because I want to give him glory in them. And so I will tell them until I'm blue in the face, until you guys get tired of me and kick me off. Okay? And so, but what I have is years of like doing missions and serving God and loving it, but coming to a point in my life of honestly some jealousy. I watched these friends that I'd done missions with and watched their dreams coming true and God putting them in places and sending them to the nations. And I'm still stuck in Carrollton, Texas, loving my church, loving my job, but wanting more Jesus, wanting more of what he's doing. And sitting in my car in front of our house, asking God, why? God, why? I've been faithful. Why not me? And he just opened my eyes. And beside, on the other side of the street, there's this big, beautiful tree. And in this tree, he says, do you see that tree over there? And I said, yeah, I see it. He said, do you think that tree grew overnight? That tree grew in a year? That tree took years to get to the point where it's at. And I, at that point, I began to understand how God was moving in my life and his. He was using that example to show me that the things that he's taken us through, like we talked about last week, begin to prepare us for the future he has for these visions. And it's not my timing, but his. Another thing that's been just kind of spoken into my life many times through the years, and I don't know the full fruition of this, but to be father to the fatherless, father to many. It started in Africa many, many years ago with a little baby. I told you guys her name was Hope. She had AIDS. She's cured now, but I was sure I was going to put her in my suitcase and bring her home with us. She was coming home. I loved her. And I called my wife crying, and she said, I don't know what God's doing, but here's this verse I feel like he's put on my heart for you. And it was saying the same thing, is that you're going to be a father to many. And God has continually spoken that in my life. And so I don't know. I love working with you. I love working with kids. I don't know what he's doing, but I know I want to press into that. I want to press into that dream. I want to see what God's going to do. I want to bring him glory in it. I want to be actively seeking that out, but in his timing. And just another kind of story, it's about God's promises and how they can take a long time. So we were in Southeast Asia a couple of summers ago, and we met these kids. There was this, and we're not going to use any names, and we'll call her Susan just for the fun. And so Susan was working in a neighborhood, and she was there because the government or people in that neighborhood called her and said, hey, would you please come put a kids club, my definition, in this neighborhood? They gave her a place. She started doing this kids club, and she was in this, and John and I were trying to remember, we 5 to 10 years, it was a long time. But she really felt like God was putting her there for a reason, to love these kids, to see them come to know the gospel, to come to know Jesus, and to see their families transformed from the bottom up as these kids heard about Jesus. She was teaching them how to read, all these things, loving them, and we got to spend an amazing time with them. There's a video of Kale playing a worship song with them. It was just really sweet. We'll come back to that. So when we talk about God's promises, there are definitely the dreams, there are things, there are promises that are given. But if we want to truly believe that God's promises are true, I think there are some promises we have to look at in God's Word, in the Bible, that are just for our everyday activities and for all of us in every way. And so I want to read a few of these promises that we get to hold on to. And it's not us praying, God, please make this true, because it already is. It's us saying, God, make this true in my heart. God, reveal this to me. God, may your love, whatever you're saying, whatever this promise is, may I truly believe that you've already said it's true. So I'm not trying to convince God. It's me revealing my heart and letting him do the work. And so I'm just going to read some scriptures to you. They're not going to be up there. We're going to read through them somewhat quickly, but enough for you guys to hear. 2 Peter 1:4. And because of glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So he's going to give us a promise. He's going to give us the ability to share him with others, to walk through the pains and the struggles and whatever the world is causing. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans for good and not for disaster, for to give you a future and a hope." Matthew 11:28-29, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest." Are you looking for rest? He says he's going to give it to you. Come to him, ask for it. Isaiah 40:29-31, "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on high like wings on eagles. They will not run and grow weary. They will not walk. They will not faint." Are you feeling tired? You feel like you can't go one more step, that you can't break away from that sin, that you can't talk to that person, that you can't get up another morning? God says he'll give you strength. Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." So promises from love, peace, strength, salvation, they're there for us to hold on to. And that's just a few. Here's 100 more. Just 100 promises of God. If there were some differing numbers, but somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 promises from God can be found in His Scripture. Kind of overwhelming. But if you want this, let me know. I'll be happy to send it to you. It's just something to help you walk through. You can take a few of these every day and just pray through them. God, thank you that you are truth in my life. God, thank you that you give me comfort. God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you that you're a light in my life. Thank you that you're my heavenly Father. So just a few things that can help you in your prayers and help you solidify those promises and truths in your heart. So my question to you is, are you waiting on a promise from God? If you are, hold fast. He's with you and his promises always come true. Are you waiting for a promise that God's going to reconcile your family? Are you waiting for a promise that he's going to bring back that prodigal son or daughter? Are you waiting for a promise to come true of peace? For a promise to come of direction in your life? A promise of, hey God, send me to the nations. Where are you going to send me? Are you waiting? Are you listening? Stand firm again, knowing that he's with you and his promises always come true. Look at the life of Joseph. So Joseph finally saw his promise come over 27 years later. He had pain, he had struggle, but he knew God was moving the whole time. And here's what's another really cool thing, is that in the midst of all this, he and his brothers came to him. They were afraid after their father passed away that he was going to retaliate. And he says, look, you didn't do this. God did. He stood in the midst of all that, everything he went through, but he knew that God was working his life. He knew that God had a plan. God had a promise. And he forgave them because he knew that God was moving and God was with him. So what came from his suffering? What did God do? Basically, he fed the whole world. A family was reconciled. Murderous brothers had tried to kill him. They're now family again. The love of a father was once again known. Jacob was pretty sure that his son was dead, that he was never going to see him again. Joseph missed his family. God brought them back together. Just like he did. Whew. Just like he did with us with Jesus. 4,000 years after the promise, the first time we hear of the gospel in Genesis 3:15. It took 4,000 years, but God promised he was going to bring a Messiah. He was going to send one that would save our souls. He would bring reconciliation back to our families. He would put us back in his love and call us sons and daughters. God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. That wasn't planned. Whew. That peace was in there, but not like that. I love God. I love the Holy Spirit. He just moves. So, show the baptism picture. Here's how God moves again. So we had the amazing opportunity. These two teenage girls grew up in this program with Susan. These are the first two baptisms she saw. What a picture I couldn't find, and John reminded me. So this is one of her that we got to be part of this. It was so cool. It was like we had to be quiet, and you know, we were all at the foot of the water, and they walked out, and we were screaming and yelling, and they came up out of the water doing this. That's how God moves. We stand firm in His promises, and we know when His dreams are given to us. And here's some things, just some really foundational things. If we feel like God's given a dream, that we can move through them. This was actually written by Rick Warren in the midst of a bunch of leaders, including Jimmy Seibert. If we're looking at dreams, how do we move through them? How do we get to those points of where God is moving? And they're pretty simple. One, God gives you a dream to create something, to do something. He gives it to you. Two, the decision. You decide to do something about it. Whatever God gave you, you need to act on it. And so is there a dream you put in hold right now? Is there something you feel like God gave you and you put it on hold? Is it gathering dust? Maybe it's time to revive it and let again put it in play, whether it's for your family or for you or for the nations, for a company. But what is that vision God's given you for that? And then you can almost always guarantee there's going to be a delay. There's always a delay when it comes to God. And that's what Rick says. I don't think it's always, but I think many times. But that delay is meant to shape you. Just like that tree had to grow into that beautiful thing, God uses our experiences to shape us, to get us ready to move. Just like He did in Noah, 120 years from the time He started building the boat to the time the rain came. So how are you doing in God's waiting room? Are you pressing into Him? Are you seeking His heart and His timing to fulfill that promise? And most of the time, again, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. Think of Joseph again. He dreamed of being a ruler, but he had this long trip of captivity until he finally became second charge, basically the second most powerful man in the world. But there's going to be difficulty, and we have to stand firm, know that He's with us. His promises are true. You may seem like there's a dead end. Like I did. I felt like this was from God. I pressed in, and then I hit the Red Sea, and it was a dead end. Well, the Red Sea wasn't a dead end, right? What did God do? He parted the waters so they could walk in dry ground. So there's no dead ends for God. And so, but if you feel like you hit it, press in, pray, ask Him to continue to reveal that dream and that vision for you, and walk on dry ground. Let him spread the water so you can walk. And then finally, there's deliverance or fulfillment of that promise. The dream happens in God's timing. And He gets the glory. God's promises sometimes take time. Here's what we believe here. We believe that God is moving. We believe there's a revival coming within Wichita, and we believe that He is moving and He's got things for us to do. We believe He gives us dreams and visions for that to happen, and we all have a part to play. And so what I ask of you as we move into this next time of worship is what are you dreaming about? If you don't have one right now, ask God for one. Pray with us that He will move. Revivals only happen through prayer. And then worship like your life depends on it. Worship Him, the one who created you, the one who gives you the dream, the one who sent Jesus so that we may be reconciled back to Him. And let's worship like true followers of Jesus. And just give Him all the glory in everything we do.